We're back.
We are back.
In the closet.
Back in the closet, back together.
A little kung fu-y. Yep. Kung fu-y conversation-ies.
Doing a little KFC.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's run through our list, my friend.
Cool.
What is your school name, sir?
My school name is Boulder Internal Arts in Boulder, Colorado. And you can find us at the Boulder Internal Arts blog.
You got an Instagram, too, don't you?
Yeah, I do have an Instagram.
And you got a Facebook page, too, don't you?
Yeah, I do have a Facebook page.
Yeah, you're all over the place.
I am.
Red Force Chinese Boxing over here with Randall Davis. You can find me on Instagram also, Facebook, and YouTube.
YouTube.
Yeah. And also, next month starts training every Saturday for April and May at 5280 Shaolin. You can find a portal over at 5280 Shaolin and sign up. I'm very much looking forward to giving a strong, healthy introduction and base to somebody's Wing Chun skills. If you've trained Wing Chun and want to check out something different, or if you're a rookie to martial arts, come on down and we'll have great training. We're going to go from 1 to 4 p.m. And I look forward to seeing and meeting you. Or if you know some folks in Denver that are interested in martial arts, got some buddies in Colorado, send them our way. So let's get back to the show. You can find our email at kungfuconversations@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
You can also find us on Instagram. You can find us on Facebook. You can find us on YouTube. We have a Teespring account. No, excuse me. We have a fourth wall account.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, yeah. And we just changed from...
Recently upgraded?
Yeah, recently upgraded. You got posters. You got a cool hat. You've got two cool T-shirt designs. And we're going to be updating that every year with some new designs and some new cool stuff. And you can find the link to that in our Instagram account as well as our YouTube account. And then you can find us at Buy Me a Coffee and help support the show. It's only $5. We're at Kung Fu Con Pod. That is Kung Fu Con Pod. That's always my favorite. And that is Kung Fu Conversations. By the way, I need to do a shout out. I'm going to use your words, sir.
Uh-oh.
Your words.
Oh, boy.
The last YouTube episode we did with Sifu David Peterson
mm-hmm.
has hit over 3,200 views.
Woo!
Absolutely amazing. Thank you so much. Get that one out there to some of your friends. Thank you, David Peterson, for doing a fantastic conversation.
That was great.
And, yeah, we're very excited. It's crazy because we were doing the math, and that is more than half the views that our show got in its inaugural season. So onward and upward, and then we're gonna release a YouTube one with our friend Spencer Nutala soon. So keep an eye out for that one on YouTube, and we've got other great episodes in the can. So we can't wait to talk about those. But we're gonna talk about a topic today, Owen and I. Do forms really matter?
Do they matter?
Do they?
I don't know.
Should I start this pile of magic, yeah. Or would you like to start that?
Go
one
for
soon?
It. It's okay. Gonna be great.
Do forms really matter? It's interesting. I was training with my friends down at 5280 Shaolin. I took my roommate, Big Sam, one of the guys behind the scenes that helps out the show.
Yep.
Thank you, Sam.
Thanks, Sam.
So we were talking about what I was going to be teaching in the 2 months, and something was brought up, and a question was asked, why don't you teach the students how to dissect the first form and use it for drills.
The first Wing Chun form, right?
The first Wing Chun form, yes. Thank you. And it wasn't swatting anybody's idea down, but I gave them a reason. Why not? I'm like, let's just say that they're a rookie student. The form may be the least important thing. As a rookie student, I need to show you what is our stance, how does it relate to a posture, and how does that develop a structure? I have to show them how to do it statically, without movement. Then I have to show them how to do it with footwork. But first, I'm going to start with turning and shifting. And then it'll be footwork, right? And there's so much complexity in that. Wing Chun is one of those simple-looking systems, and the devil's in the details. The complexity happens in the information. And as a rookie student, they don't need to know everything about the stance. They need to know one or two things, because that's all they're going to be able to manage. And they don't need to know everything about the posture and how it integrates into the first form and the second form and how that is challenged and how the third form helps you to reestablish that posture. They don't need to know that as a rookie. They need to know how to tuck their chin, how to, you know, have that little imaginary string pulling up the spine, and all these other little details. But they don't need to learn 20. They need to learn one or two. You're dealing with rookie management skills. It's one or two things at a time. And as a rookie, that is enough for you to juggle, because you're going to have one or two things with the stance, one or two things with the posture. And then when I teach them the guard hands, those one or two things are going to link to the guard hands, which also has one or two things. Mm-hmm. So let's just say these, we're going to do two for each, right? So you got two protocols for your stance. You have two protocols for your posture, which relates to the hips. You have two protocols for your guard hands. That's six things. But there are two different ways that those six things interrelate to each other. Well, it's going to be three or four lessons down the road that I'm going to show them that multiplier on how there's a relationship between all of those things. Because mm-hmm. that's all of a sudden 18 things for a rookie to juggle. And right. that's why I'm starting it with the static stance, right? How do you do it in isolation? And then you've got to do it while you're turning. And then you've got to do it with footwork. And then you've got to do it with a non-cooperative partner. My God. It shows already there's a lot of complexity there. Mm-hmm. And you want me to show them a form? What good is that form going to do to help that? Now, the opening, yeah, I'm going to show them the opening of the form. And probably the first month, you're going to do nothing but the opening hands. And by the second month, we'll do the three pairs of the Buddha. But that's just to give the rookie student some semblance of, hey, I am learning a form and a kata. I think that helps establish I'm training a classical martial art.
Sure.
And I think that does help people. And I think they deserve that.
Mm-hmm.
But no, they don't need to know all 108 moves of the first form. You know, they need to learn a good stance, a good posture, good guard hands, a good structure, how to move that, how it overcomes the challenge of force coming in directly down the center line,
mm-hmm.
and then how to apply force out of it, you know, because it's not a defensive art. You know, I look at it through an offensive and a counter-offensive perspective. And so it's kind of neat when you can show them, well, guess what? Your guard hands, you can just close the hands and all of a sudden you're in boxing ready. Or you just, you know, have one hand open and one hand closed. Or all of a sudden, you know, you can do that chin strike and all of a sudden, oh, wait, the guard hand's already positioned for that.
Mm-hmm.
Or the guard hands are already in position for a defensive hand. Or, you know, the pox out. And so you start relating all those things together. And those links and the transitions become that complexity. And that is a lot to deal with. But not only is it a lot to deal with, but it is a lot to get good at.
Mm-hmm.
Or even moderately effective at. So that's where the training takes place. And so, you know, as I'm getting into my 26th year of training Wing Chun, I'm starting to think that the forms might not be the most – it's not where the most time is needed in a practice to get good. What do you think about that, O?
You know, I think this is a good question, specifically because, you know, there are arts that don't have forms.
Sure.
And so I think that, you know.
Ooh,
if I start my thought process there, okay, we have arts that have, some have forms, some do not have forms. And, you know, we sort of look at it and say, oh, well, traditional or more classical martial arts tend to have more forms and more modern martial arts do not. But I think that to a certain extent, I think that the focus is different, meaning that like in more modern martial arts where they don't have forms, it seems to me that most of the focus is on fighting.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
So it's more on application.
Okay.
It's more on usage. So, you know, I think I'm thinking like Thai boxing, Brazilian jiu-jitsu, mixed martial arts, you know, even, I mean, you know, even modern judo is these right. days less focused. They do have forms.
Sure.
But it's less focused on that. And I think that that's really important. I think that that's, you know, having that martial efficacy is very important in a martial art. Now, is everybody going to be good at it? No. Is everybody going to be even remotely competent at it? No. But if you understand what the meaning is in terms of the form, I think that that's important. in terms of being able to bring tease that out and then be able to understand how to use it in a fighting situation.
Okay? Sure.
Or just a sparring situation. Just to have a grasp on it and be able to talk about it intelligently, even if you're not great at it. But by the same token, I can say that a lot, my experience, which is pretty limited with, you know, like Brazilian jiu-jitsu and with sort of mixed martial arts and like Thai boxing and those things, there's a shelf life.
Oh,
The practitioner is really, you know, you get guys out there, of course, who have been practicing their whole lives. Right. And but at some point,
the outliers.
Yeah. You know, but at some point that they all seem to have really serious injuries.
Sure.
You know,
major surgeries. Yeah,
exactly. And I mean, you know, rightfully so. I mean, fighting and that sort of thing, whether it's in a ring or whatever. Yeah. You're going to get hurt. And there's no two ways about it. Now, if you're looking at more classical martial arts, I think that there was a fair amount of fighting that came out of those types of art as well. I think that there's been sort of a shift maybe in the last like 50 years or so, kind of away from the fighting aspect in traditional martial arts, and therefore probably even longer than that. I would say probably more like 100 years. So probably when, at least in China, where the start of the Republican era happened, there was sort of a shift towards a commercialization and sort of being able to mass transmit different types of martial arts. So maybe in that way it was still sort of focused on martial efficacy and the ability to turn it into a fighting art. But by the same token, I know that a lot of the older generation sort of in the pre-Republican era had started to, you know, with the advent of guns, had started to kind of move away from a lot of the more combat or, you know, sort of fight oriented side of the arts. And there, in, at least in Chinese martial arts, which I can speak to somewhat, there's always been a lot of, there's been a lot of other things that were being done in those arts. So to go back to what you were saying, in those arts, I think that it takes a long time to develop. I mean, a long time by sort of, you know,
Western standards?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Precisely. To develop a good base. And I think you're exactly right about, like, not teaching a lot of forms, especially early on. I know that my personal teaching and the way I teach my students these days has really shifted. It's less forms-based. I mean, I have an unbelievable amount of forms. But
right. Yeah, yes, by
the same token, I put less weight on those, and I want to work on body method. I want to work on good body mechanics. I want to see good half stepping. I want to see proper spinal alignments. I want to see the kind of the basis of things, in my opinion, that Chinese martial arts are really good at, and because those are the things that help to maintain health long term. And in my experience with it, that's what I think Chinese martial arts kind of where they really shine in comparison to, say, more modern martial arts. Meaning that there's a lot more health-based practices built into Chinese martial arts in terms of stretching, in terms of joint mobility, in terms of, you know, like Qigong and those sorts of aspects of all of these arts. Like every system, every Chinese system I've come across has some variation of all of this stuff. Now, does that directly translate into fighting ability? I don't know. Maybe. But it definitely translates into health. And it definitely translates into like a long-term health practice, and I think that that becomes really, really important, especially as you know you start reaching your second, third, and fourth and fifth decades of practicing.
Yes, yes.
You know, your body really kind of takes a beating, especially you know early on if you're involved at all with like sort of the martial aspect of any of the traditional Chinese arts. Now, to bring it all the way back around, do you need the forms? I don't know. I'm not convinced that older martial arts types from China even had forms. I think that sure. they had a lot of practice pieces, and that maybe they would string those practice pieces together, kind of like the Xingyi Five Elements. Mm-hmm. You're just basically doing two or three moves on one side, you do it on the other side, you rinse, repeat, rinse, repeat, rinse, repeat. It's a very sort of old model. And, you know, I think that Then they started to come out and invent like linking forms. So then you're stringing like multiple techniques together. And I think that that's really what people think of when they think of forms.
Sure. Like, the linking.
It's just sort of the methodology where you're taking like all these different pieces and you're stringing them together. But the problem is like if you haven't spent the time doing the individual pieces, kind of like you were saying, you know, and you haven't trained the basis of those pieces, because the basis of those pieces is the stance. It is the footwork. It is the hand placement. It is the, you know, the spinal alignment. It is just the basic mechanics of moving in your art. If you haven't spent the time to do that, like I can teach you 100 forms and then, you know, you're going to go out and think you're a master.
They're empty, but and they're worthless.
Yeah, it turns into a bunch of crap, which is, I think a lot of what's out there these days. You know, you got people who've spent, you know, a year or whatever, like doing, you know, oh, I did footwork and I did this and I did that and I learned this thing. And I'm just like, Jesus Christ, that's a shitload of stuff for 1 year.
Sure.
You know? And I mean, there's of course, you're going to get the anomalies occasionally in terms of people and students who are, you know, you may just get an uber talented student who just is really plugged in and connected in their body, and they can pick it up. And I mean, those people are like unicorns.
Yeah,
in my experience, you don't come across them that often. And then when you do, it's amazing. You're like, wow, this person's fantastic.
Yeah, but I've come across a few unicorns in my martial practice days that we all started together in our 20s. And you know what? What happened is they got a little older. Their bodies changed. Heck, my body's changed. You know, I've always been round, little roly-poly guy. I just got a little rounder, not too much. But anyway, you know, their bodies changed. They don't work out. They don't do their martial practice. They don't do these things. They have physical, demanding labor jobs. And guess what? That unicorn ability has a ceiling. And those are the folks that if they only rely on their natural God-given talent, that ceiling, you can see it.
Sure.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
And it might be great, but over time, things will wear that ceiling, and that ceiling is going to lower a little bit. It's going to lower a little bit, and it's going to lower a little bit more. And it's one of those things where, you know, I think effort and consistent effort trumps that. You know, especially if you're getting proper practice and proper guidance. And but that's a rare thing in and of itself.
Sure.
But yeah, I definitely know a few unicorns out there who are like, you son of a bitch. How can you be that good?
Yeah.
And you just learned it a few hours ago. I've been working on that for 5 years.
Yeah.
And you're better than I. It sucks. But they're out there. They're out there and we know them. Yeah. It's fascinating too because, you know, I had to take a hiatus there for a little bit because of helping out a friend with some stuff. I'm not going to get into it this podcast, but I hadn't seen you regularly for about a year or so and came into Xing Yi the other day and like, this is what we're working on. I'm like, oh, this is tough, but it's great. And I loved it. And I absolutely loved it. And, you know, afterward, you know, we were having, you know, lunch before the show today and you were coming over and they kind of got to this topic and, you know, we were talking about it and I think an outsider that doesn't understand Xing Yi might look at something like Pichuan and think, oh God, that's so easy. I can learn that right off of YouTube.
Totally.
And I'm looking at it after being almost 11 years with you in it. And I'm like, there's like 75 different things going on at the fucking same time.
Yeah.
You know, you don't know what you don't know until you know a little bit, you know?
Right.
And it's so funny because we were talking about it and you're like, I would rather somebody work on one piece of what makes up Wing Chun and get very good at it. And then I'm going to give them another piece and have them work on that piece and get very good at it. And give them three or four pieces and then start them out into Pichuan. Because then when they start getting really good at those pieces, the hard part is how are they going to juggle all five of them and synchronize them?
Mm-hmm.
Because they're all happening. And it might not be simultaneously either. They might transition or phase into that next piece. But it is so hard because that's another learning curve in and of itself is how are you transitioning into those different skill sets?
Yeah. Yeah. And I always look for in students, a big part of how I evaluate like whether a student's ready for a new form or they're ready for a new gong or they're ready for a new piece, you know, whatever it is how integrated is the old piece in their nervous system? Because, you know, just like you were saying, you really have to own it to a certain extent. You have to internalize it in your body in order for it to be able to, to build the next thing on top of it and not have to try to do two things at once. It's like, no, I worked on this enough that I have at least a semblance of it in my nervous system, in my body. Therefore, I can forget about it to a certain extent, learn a new thing, and then I can, you know, it's like you can take a step back and you can see the first thing, and then you can see the new thing that they're working on as well. But the first thing's still there. And usually what happens if people learn too quickly is they learn the first thing and then they practice it for a little while and then they forget it and then they didn't get it in their body, so it's not there anymore. And then they learn the second thing, and then they learn the third thing, and it just becomes like a big giant,
you know, sack of turds.
Yeah, it's a bunch of mashed potatoes in there. So, yeah, and that's not really helpful for anybody, because I think that's where a lot of people get discouraged, because they don't see that kind of progress, or they'll see a lot of progress up front because maybe they're learning a lot of stuff and they're doing the form and they're like, man, I'm learning Kung Fu, I'm doing all this stuff. But then they feel like, and then, you know, maybe it slows down. And then it's like, oh, well, why isn't my teacher teaching me anymore? Well, maybe they are. Your teacher had to take a step back, and you need to take a step back and then go back to what you were learning.
Yes.
And back to the lessons, yep, that you had learned before, and start looking at them one at a time. Oh, am I doing enough of these? Do I have enough of this thing in my body to make my martial art effective? And generally, in my experience with my students, it's never enough. It's not
sure.
Like what they think is enough. And I'm like, yeah, you got to 5X that. You got to 10X what you're doing. And that, whether that's, you know, a position for the head, or it's a position for shoulders and neck, or the pelvis, or the feet, or, you know, any of those real basic pieces, if they're not there, you're not going
to
get it.
Overemphasize the basics to the point where it's always there.
Yeah. I mean, that's the whole thing, right? It's like you internalize those basic pieces, and then you can build on top of them. But without that, I don't know. In my experience, it's real tough.